Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
The NBA playoffs are heating up in a major way, and I know people in the state of Utah may be a little bit sad now that the basketball season is over for the Jazz, but we're down to the final eight teams, and I think we got some pretty compelling ball on the horizon this weekend. We're going to talk about that and more right now with a great friend of mine, Jabari Davis. He is a co-host of the podcast Dunks and Discourse, and of course we'll talk about that in just a moment, but a fantastic basketball mind. And Jabari, as always, a pleasure to get you back on the show. Thank you.
As always, you are far too kind, but I appreciate you having me.
That's always a pleasure. Let's dive into it. We'll start by talking about tonight's game, Lakers-Rockets. And the reason I want to start with this is because last night we saw the Nuggets and the Clippers, and I was of the mindset that if any team, any of the two teams, Nuggets or Jazz, were to give the Clippers a series, it would in fact be the Denver Nuggets. However, I was concerned about the quick turnaround after an emotional, hard-fought seven-game set. And that Nugget team looked spent last night, specifically Jamal Murray. And I wonder if we're going to see the same thing from the Houston Rockets. If not, Houston has a chance to punch the Lakers in the face and take control of a series if they can get a win tonight. I think it's that important, but I just don't know what side of the spectrum, what we're going to see tonight. Is it a well-balanced Houston Rocket team that looks energized, or is it an emotionally dead team, similar to what we saw with the Nuggets last night?
Yeah, you know, it's what's funny is I kind of had the same idea coming into this, but, you know, looking at the situation, part of me feels like I think we're going to get a major, a tremendous effort from Houston tonight. I'm not certain whether they can keep it up for the entire series, but given the fact that Russell Westbrook was able to kind of shake the dust and the rust off over those last couple games of that series, they call it a gut instinct. Part of me feels like, you know, the Lakers are going to get everything they can handle tonight. But ultimately, unless the Lakers are resting themselves after, you know, upwards of, you know, 5-6 days off, I think they'll settle down kind of like we saw from the Clippers. And by the end of this thing, I think the Lakers will, you know, find a way to put it down. But either way, the Rockets, if they're going to win this series, they need to jump out to this lead tonight. If the Lakers lose, I would still feel confident about them.
Well, and speaking of the Lakers, they get an important piece back in Rajon Rondo, and this is a guy that we haven't seen for a very long time. We haven't seen him play in the bubble yet after sustaining the injury and then with the back spasms. When you look at what the Rockets can bring to the table from a backcourt standpoint, I don't believe it's anything even remotely close to what the Portland Trailblazers can bring. But in the same token, Rondo is going to affect this series one way or another. I don't think there's any way about it.
Yeah, if Rondo can stay in front of guys, like it's just that simple with me for him. He's not, you know, a lot of people will say, like, well, playoff Rondo. I'm not expecting, you know, what I saw 3 years ago from a veteran guy that's coming off of multiple injuries. But as long as he can just manage the floor when LeBron's out and not mess things up from a spacing perspective, if Vogel does wind up playing him alongside the two stars, I think you'll be fine. And really, you don't need him to lock in. You just need him not to be a turnstile. So, I agree that Rondo will play a factor. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, do we get positive Rondo or do we get some of the Rondo play that we saw over the course of the year?
Jabari, we had the conversation yesterday on the show about James Harden. I'm never a prisoner of the moment. I always stay away from that. And I know that James Harden had a big defensive play to ultimately end the series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But when looking at the usage rate that Mike D'Antoni loves to push, and especially in a series that we expect to be very competitive, be it a 6-7 or even a 5-game set, whatever this series is going to go with the Lakers, the fact that they are fresh off of a 7-game set, is their vulnerability on the defensive side of the ball, knowing what this Rocket team just went through and the way D'Antoni loves to run his guys into the ground?
I always worry about that with Mike D'Antoni. We've seen this since the Phoenix days. It's not even just here. You know, it's not even just here with these Houston Rockets. This has been his MO. And by the end of the season, there's always the question of, well, did he just wear them down too much, or are these injuries or are these slow ups just par for the course when it comes to basketball? I have been of the mindset of, you know, it works great for a regular season. It can even work great at the start of a playoff run, but by the end of this thing, even with the unique circumstances here, given the fact that they had the 4 months off, but by the end of this thing, it's understandable that they're worn down. I don't want to take anything away from them, because to be honest with you, they played pretty good defense, for stretches in that series. And James Harden, while yes, traditionally we've all enjoyed making fun of the fact that he did not care about that side of the court, when James Harden wants to lock in, he can do that. Like, he absolutely can. So if I'm the Lakers, quite frankly, if Anthony Davis is playing the way that Anthony Davis played over the course of that that opening round series, obviously outside of the inefficient game one, none of this is really going to matter.
Let's step away from the Laker-Rocket series. We'll talk about the other series that we have going on, the Heat and the Bucks. And Jabari, I feel like I can comfortably put the impact that Jimmy Butler has made with this Miami Heat team. I can bottle that and Chris Paul up with the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's in different ways, but these are two guys that just have not got the pub that they deserved. And look, I'll argue with that on anyone. When you talk about MVP candidates, by the definition of the saying MVP, there's no doubt that Jimmy Butler and Chris Paul deserve to be in the conversation. How outlandish that sounds to some, and I don't care that Jimmy Butler's fresh off a 13-game performance. This guy affects the game every single possession in some form or another, and right now, when you look at this series with the Bucks, he's absolutely affected it. Fresh off a 13-point game, he still found a way to help his team get a victory with two foul shots. He affected it on the defensive end of the floor. This guy is that good. And I'm of the mindset that the Bucks, they're in some trouble.
Yeah, look, I went into this thinking, okay, the Bucks will right the ship. We'll see what we've seen over the course of the season. That was more of an anomaly. But I take all of that back. You're 100% right in terms of the Jimmy Butler impact, just like with the CP3 impact. And I'll say the words that people don't want to say. If they were more likable from just like a chummy standpoint, they would be all the love in the world. But here's one for you, and this is a point that's been echoed about both of them. I'm of this opinion. If you, speaking generally, have an issue with Jimmy Butler and his approach to the game of basketball, that's a you problem. That's not a Jimmy problem. If you, as an individual, have a problem with Chris Paul's approach to the game of basketball and his desire to win at all costs, that's a you problem. That's not a CP3 problem. So while I recognize their personalities may be grating on some and may not jive with everybody, the truth of the matter is, if you've got one of those type of guys on your team, you're going to be in a position that you have an opportunity to win. You may not get there ultimately, but your failure is not going to be at their feet.
No question. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. If we get past tonight's games and we take a look at what we have on tap tomorrow, again, it's going to be a fascinating weekend of basketball, because now when you get down to the final eight teams, it seems like the intensity and, of course, the visual just picks up. I mean, these are legit teams at this stage in the game. So, Jabari, fast-forwarding to tomorrow, we have a sneakingly good series brewing between Toronto and Boston. If you've missed any of this series, you've missed some great basketball.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was done. I thought we were done here. when it got down, was it Tice that had the dunk that gave them the lead with 0.5 seconds or whatever, however many seconds were left? I thought for sure that I was like, oh, hey, it was a good run, Toronto. But that is a type of momentum swinging shot that I just kind of gave it away in the description of it. It can truly change things in a series. It's going to be interesting how things go in that in that game four, in that game four. Mm-hmm. But if I'm Boston, I have to look at that as a lost opportunity, because you did everything you needed to do except for just pay attention to the details on that very final play.
Yeah, and going back to the bubble and the nuances of it, and I know this has been talked about numerous times. The fact that the lower seed won the first two games, that means nothing. It means absolutely nothing in the series. Like, if you go back over the course of history, Boston's up 2-0 going back to Boston, the series is over. It's just one of the nuances that maybe we don't talk about enough. There is no home court advantage. Those first two games, it's almost irrelevant that Boston won them as the lower seed. It means nothing.
You're 100% right on that. And look back to last series. Okay, for instance, the Lakers series, Lakers and Blazers. As much as I was disappointed for those top seeds that they kind of got screwed out of, the actual advantages of having the top seed, for the Lakers' perspective, they lost that game one. if you're headed back to Moda Center, split 1-1, and you're the Lakers, who traditionally have never done well playing up in Portland, whether you call it the Rose Garden or Moda Center or anything else, honestly, you actually benefited from that. But not to detract from your point, you're right. This bubble scenario, it, all bets are off. All of the usual things that we would describe as advantages are gone, and the seeding really doesn't matter. It's just straight basketball, and that's actually part of why it's been so fascinating.
All right. I know, Jabari, we're short on time, so we're going to end with this. Lakers-Rockets, who's your winner? How many games does it go?
If the Lakers are locked in, it's going five. And I know I just said that they're a formidable opponent. If they're not, or say you get that Russell Westbrook game that I kind of described to you beforehand, it could go six. But I'm pretty confident that, look, the Lakers may not have an answer for James Harden, and certainly don't have an answer for a viable answer for Russell Westbrook when he's heading downhill. But I will take my chances because, again, if Anthony Davis plays the way that he played in that first series, especially in that closeout game, it really doesn't matter.
Jabari Davis, again, co-host of Dunks and Discourse. And Jabari, I'll let you go, but I can't let you go before you give us the details on your podcast.
You're the man, man. Again, I really do appreciate this opportunity. I don't just say it because we're friends. It's the most fun that I have on the air when I'm doing every week when I'm doing a guest spot. So thank you for having me. Dunks and Discourse is with my guy Josh. That's obviously no shade to him. I have a great time doing it with him. We talk about basketball. We talk about all sports. We talk about movies, TV shows, and any entertainment world as well. Quite frankly, we talk about just about anything we want, and we have a great time doing it. So if anybody's interested in that, check us out. You can find us everywhere.
Jabari, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to next week. Thank you again for the time.
You're the man. I look forward to it as well. Thank you.
Let's break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.